Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Today's Crosswalk is pre-recorded from Truth Set Free.
Hello, you guys. Welcome to Truth Set Free. My name is Matt Lewis. I'm here with Pastor Steve Winery of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities. This is a question and answer show where you guys can post questions, ask for prayer, post praise reports. We'd love to see all that stuff. And if you want to do that, you can email behind me, crosswalkradio@gmail.com. You guys can also text or leave a voicemail to 707-872-7677. If you don't know anything about us, we have a website, calvarychapeltricities.org. You guys can download our app, a bunch of information's on there, the bulletin right here. And so just a couple things that are going on locally for you guys. Okay, anything you want to say?
Nope.
All right.
Good.
Jumping into some questions here. This is my first one. It's regarding spiritual gifts. It's from Dana. Does God give and take away spiritual gifts? Is it your gift for life, or is it possible to lose a spiritual gift?
You know, there's not specific passages dealing with the context of spiritual gifts as far as the, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 14 that talk about that. But there is a general principle that Paul lays out in Romans chapter 11 in verse 29. In this passage, he's talking about Israel's relationship with God, talking about the nation of Israel. And he's letting us know in Romans chapter 11 that God's not done with Israel, that he's going to bring them back as a nation and bring Israelis into a relationship with Christ, straight out of Judaism, into a relationship with Jesus. And in verse 29, well, I'll read verse 28 first. It says, concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. And you know that the Jews, especially at the time of Paul was writing this, were adamantly opposed to Christianity and Christians. And so he says, for they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they're beloved for the sake of the fathers. And then he says, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. And that's the idea that once God gives you something, once he gives you a gift, that it's not something that he's going to come and take away. And so I would say to you that that applies to spiritual gifts also. And so when God gives you a spiritual gift, it's something that you're going to have for life. Now, let me just talk about spiritual gifts practically. I have certain spiritual gifts that God uses in my life all the time. And so teaching is a spiritual gift. And it was literally a gift in my life. It wasn't something that I learned. It was something that God performed in me. And so that happened, you know, way back in the early 80s. And I've had that gift ever since. And I'm not saying that that I'm not involved in that whole thing, because I am. And it's just like that with every spiritual gift. So when you read in 1 Corinthians 14 about specifically the gift of tongues, one of the things that Paul says is that you need to speak clearly, otherwise people won't understand you. And so that is something that's subject to the person. And there are times when you need to not use it in a public setting because there's no interpreter. And obviously that person has control over that gift. And so you see a spiritual gift in itself, but then you see the person's control over that gift, whether or not they use it, whether or not, you know, how they use it. And so it's been, actually Chuck Smith used to say that when you're using a spiritual gift, you are in charge of whether or not you use it, you're in charge of the volume, you're in charge of where it's used, you have control over these things. And so a spiritual gift can be something that you stop using, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily gone. And so I can neglect the gift of God in my life. And so Paul, when he's talking to Timothy, he talks to him about stirring up the gift that God had given him through the laying on of hands. And what he's telling Timothy is that Timothy is neglecting the spiritual gift that God gave him. And that's most likely the gift of teaching. And again, you have that. I have had God use me as far as spiritual gifts and in areas like once and never again. And so there was a time when there was a, I was at a prayer meeting and somebody had had a dream. And, you know, it's kind of a Nebuchadnezzar type of thing. This person had a dream and they really felt like it was a dream that came from the Lord. They didn't know what the dream meant. And so they brought it up at the prayer meeting. And when brought it up, you know, people tried to help him out. And so a couple people said, you know, one person said, well, maybe this means this. And I don't even remember what the dream was, but maybe this means this and maybe that means that. And then another person, you know, chimed in. And there's probably three people that chimed in. And every time that they did it, God was speaking to my heart going, nope, nope, nope. And then he told me what it was. And so I opened up my mouth and I shared what the dream was and everybody in the room got totally silent. And it was just obvious that it was straight from the Lord. And that's the last time that I've ever interpreted a dream. And so one of the things that I think about spiritual gifts is that God giving us these things, he's going to give them to us at the moment that we need them. And so just because I interpreted a dream doesn't mean that I go around and I start soliciting people who've had dreams and tell them, I need to use my spiritual gift on you and that kind of thing. But I have no doubt that if it ever took place again, that again, God would give me an interpretation. And again, if he wanted to. And it's kind of the same thing with the gift of prophecy. When you're talking about the gift of prophecy in the Bible, even though you're involved in the whole thing, and I have prophesied at times, quite a bit. And so I've prophesied at times, but I'm in charge of the volume. I'm in charge of when I say the things, you know. But ultimately, the gifting itself comes from God himself. It's not like, I guess what I'm trying to tell you is that when you're looking at the gifts of the Spirit, it's not like God came along and he gave me a present and said, go out and do what you will with this. That's not, it's always used in concert with the Lord. And so I've done words of knowledge at times, and I pray about those things. I don't just decide, well, this is what's going on, you know? It's like I'm praying and I'm going, God, is there something that you want me to share here? Is there somebody here that needs a word from you? And, you know, Lord, what would it be? And then I wait on the Lord to see if he's speaking to my heart. And sometimes he gives me passages out of scripture that go right along with it and that kind of thing. But I'm waiting on it. And I'm when God does that with me, I know that he does it. And so when I get something like that, I don't just go, oh, there's a person in the room and da-da-da-da-da, blah, 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 and then just move on. I tell them, hey, there's somebody in the room, and I think that this is what the Lord's telling me. This is what's happening in your life. And then I ask people to raise hands because there's a reason that he's telling me those things. And it depends on what it is. And, you know, if it was, you know, there's a person in this room, they're committing adultery on their wife. And you know,
raise your hand.
Yeah, raise your hand right now. I wouldn't do that. Not unless the Lord really spoke to me. I would tell them, hey, if that's you, then maybe you ought to come up and talk to me, you know, after the fact and that kind of thing. But I basically, when that kind of stuff happens, I ask for, if there's a person in the room that's going on with, I ask the person in the room to, you know, show themselves, you know, so we can pray for them and stuff like that. There have been a couple of times that nobody raised their hand. When I asked them to, one of them was because the guy was sitting up in a loft and I didn't see him, you know, and he's raising his hand, waving it at me. And, when I didn't see him, I just moved on with the service at that point. And then afterwards he came up to me and he said, Steve, I was up in the loft. I'm waving my hand at you and you know, that kind of thing. And so, you know, God does that. Another time I was at a pastor's conference and God did the same kind of thing with me and nobody you know, I called him out. It was something that was appropriate in that instance, and I called him out, and nobody responded. And then God told me, I want you to go stand over by that door. And I was like, okay. And so I went over and stood by the door, and he was almost the last guy out of the room. I sat there in the sanctuary at that place, and everybody else had left, and he was almost the last guy in the room. And he came up to me, and he goes, I was the guy, you know, and so... You know, again, it's something that when I look at the gifts of the Spirit, they are gifts that God is passing out real time, in the sense that I may have the gifting in the sense that God moves in my life in these areas, but each one of the gifts are something that is coming from the Lord. And it's not just me going out and doing stuff. You can see that specifically in the language that's used of some of the gifts. So, for example, gifts of miracles, it's in the plural. And gifts of healings, and that's in the plural too. And the reason that it's in the plural is because every miracle is a gift, and every healing is a gift. If I just had the gift of healing, then it would be the kind of thing where I could walk into hospitals and empty them. And that is not in any sense what the Bible teaches about the gifts of healings. Those are things that are actually come from the Lord. I am the Lord who heals thee. It says in the book of Exodus, God is the one who does the healing, and he may do that in concert with a pastor or with a Christian. And so, that's another thing. I don't think that I move in the area of the gifts of healings, but I do pray for healings, and I've seen God heal people. And that's all in the Lord and things like that. And so, again, when I'm looking at the gifts of the Spirit, if there's any taking away, I'm putting that in air quotes, so to speak, the reason that would be taking place is because a person is not listening, person is not interested, you know, a person is not waiting on the Lord. And again, because when God gifts you with something, he's not going to give it to you and then come along and take it away.
Okay, so as far as spiritual gifts go, is it something that you focus on? And what I mean by that is you have people that really focus on the gifts to the point of, everyone has a gift. What's your gift? Take this spiritual gift test. You talked about healings. Oh, mm-hmm. Let's bring in the healer. He has the spiritual gift of mm-hmm. healing. And so is it in a practical living for the Lord? Is it something that you just ask the Lord for in everything that you're doing, but it's not a focus? Or is it like, hey, I have the gift of whatever it is, administration's time for me to exercise it?
You know what? I think with a lot of Christians, it needs to be more of a focus. Many Christians go through their walk with the Lord passively, just basically going, God, if you want to give it to me, then whenever you want to, you know, I'm open to it. And it's lip service because they're not really open to it. Paul, when he was talking about spiritual gifts, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, he said, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. And so there's to be a desire. There's to be a going after these things. And so they are not the end all of a Christian's life. It's kind of like icing on the cake. The end all of my life is Jesus, and the basis of my existence on this planet is to glorify him and bring other people into the knowledge of him. But God uses spiritual gifts, and these things are cool, and they come from God himself. And so God desires these things for me, and so I should desire them too. And so I think there's a lot of apathy in that arena. And frankly, I understand the apathy because so many people have been weird with these things.
Yeah.
And that gets to the other extreme. And the other extreme is that, you know, you're just into the gifts, and you are into specific gifts. And that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is about, people who were into the gift of tongues and just misused it. That's another instance of somebody being in control of what's happening as far as the work of the Spirit in their life. You can do things inappropriately with the gifts that God gives you. And so Paul tells them to be quiet and only have two or three people in their fellowship ever speak in tongues. There needs to be somebody who's there to interpret. If there's no interpreter, then you need to sit down and speak. You can still speak in tongues, but you do it between you and God. So you keep your voice down and you're praying to the Lord. The passage talks about tongues in the context of prayer in this passage. And so Paul in this passage is rebuking these guys because they're stumbling people. He says, people think they're going to think you're crazy. The way that you're using the gifts, they're going to think you're crazy. And there are a lot of people down through the years who have used the gifts inappropriately, and people think they're crazy, including Christians. And so when the gift of tongues, and I don't even like the term, it's a 16th century term for languages, and it's really the gift of languages. And so that puts it on a different level with me, you know, because whenever I think of the gift of tongues, I think of a big tongue.
Yeah,
you
know, so, big cow tongue.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And it's just kind of a weird thing. And that is some leftovers from experiences that I've had with crazy people, once again, or people who are doing things inappropriately. And so when you look at these things, I think that they're to be desired. I think that they're used to be used in a way that is glorifying to God. And as Paul says in this passage, the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. You know, it's not to be used in a way that brings confusion to the church. And so again, you got people who are not even interested in looking at this, and when they run across the passage, again, they're coming at it passively. Jesus said the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And what he was talking about there is that basically that's old King Jimmy English, and basically what the passage means is the kingdom of God allows violence, and the violent take it by force. And it's the idea that the things of God are things that are to be striven for, they're things to be gone after, and you have a heart that wants all the things that God has for you, and you go after it, that's commendable as a believer. And so in that context, Jesus is talking about salvation. Salvation is not a passive thing, and it's something that I need to desire. If I want to be part of the kingdom of God, I need to go after it, basically. And, you know, same thing with anything that God's going to give to you. And so, again, you have that. I think that the gifts of the Spirit need to be used way more organically than many times it's used in the church. We'll have meetings where we use the gifts of the Spirit, but that's not how you see them used in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, and I'm not against having, obviously we have the meeting, so I'm not against that. But in the book of Acts, you see them organically used in the process of presenting the gospel. And so healing is a great example, gifts of healings. And so the gospel is being preached, and God is doing miracles through healings, and that's confirming the word. And people are getting blown away by it. Miracles are not confined to healings. Demon possessions, where people have demons cast out of them. Unbelievers, not believers, have demons cast out of them. And those are classified in the Bible as miracles. And so there are these things that go on in the book of Acts that confirm the word and are just awesome. As far as the church goes, when you're talking about prophecy, you see in the book of Acts a guy named Agabus, he prophesies over Paul. He also prophesies about the coming of a famine in Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and the guy's using in the arena of being a prophet, and he has the office of a prophet. And then there's another reference to Philip, who had seven daughters who prophesied, and that's in the verb form. And so it doesn't call them prophets, it says that they prophesy. And so you have these things, and the passage in 1 Corinthians says that prophecy speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And so it's an appropriate gift in the context of the church. And so that's a cool thing, and that's what you see it used for in the book of Acts. And so you have the presentation of these things in the Gospels. You have the teaching on these things in the epistles. You see the things fleshed out in ministry in the book of Acts. And so these are things that you use when you're talking to people. And so I talked about words of knowledge. There are times when God tells me things about people that I shouldn't know. And you see that happening in the Gospels. Jesus knows stuff about the woman at the well that he shouldn't know. And I realize he's God, but he's still on earth acting as a man, led by the Holy Spirit. And so he knows some things about that lady that he shouldn't know. And she goes, "Sir, I perceive you're a prophet." And she's blown away by it, is what I'm saying. And so that is something that God will use with you when you're counseling people, when you're talking to people about stuff. When I'm counseling, I'm constantly going, "God, I got nothing for these people. I do not know what to say to them. You need to give me wisdom." And what I'm asking for is a word of wisdom. How do I put this stuff together? How do I fix this issue for them? How do I do it biblically? And God leads in those areas. And so he'll tell me things about people. They'll come in and start telling me a story, and God goes, "That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. That's not it. It's this over here." And so then I'll start moving in that direction, and lo and behold, that is exactly what the problem is. And I look like a genius, and it's not that I'm a great counselor. It's that I listen to the Lord. And God moves in those areas. And so I'm not trying to downplay the supernatural aspect of this. Actually, I'm telling you that it's all supernatural, but I think that it needs to be used in a more organic way as we're going out and doing the work of the ministry, which is sharing the word of God, preaching the gospel, and leading people to Christ and discipling people. So,
amen to that.
Yeah.
Good word. All right. Hey, Bob is on here. He wants to know, "Hey, Steve, are you and Matt in a beard growing contest?" So, how far are we going with this new beard look?
Yeah, don't get used to it, because I may shave it off next week. You know, usually every winter I'll do a beard for a little while, keep my face warm or whatever. And
no shave January, that's what's going on here.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep.
That's how I started, too.
Yeah. And now you're stuck.
Now I'm stuck.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Yeah.
Mitch says if it goes out, he looked at a picture in my office where I didn't have a beard, and he's like, "Oh, don't ever do that again. You are ugly. Cover that up." Okay, here's a good one. What practical advice would you give an engaged man or new husband in leading his household? And then they go on to say, a little unsure what that really looks like, and what advice would you give to the engaged woman or new wife in being led, especially if she is resistant? What can they do to ensure God is in the center of their relationship and it does not waver from that?
I can't get any better than what Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5. And in the passage, he starts off with a life that is walked in obedience to the word. In verses 13 through 17, Ephesians 5, he talks about the fact that we need to walk as children of the light. We need to be careful and buy up opportunities because the days are evil. We need to not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And so that means a life that's steeped in the Word of God and in submission to the Lord. And then he talks about being filled with the Spirit, and a life filled with the Spirit where I am in dependence upon the Lord for my joy. I'm in dependence on the Lord for my power. There needs to be a work of God in my heart.
That's all the time we have for today. If you have questions for Pastor Steve, please email me at crosswalkradio@gmail.com, or you can leave a voicemail or text message to 707-872-7677. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We also meet at 6 p.m. Sundays and 6:30 p.m. Wednesdays in our sanctuary. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk. My King is
come.